The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
K294 AS Ashland.
13 after 8, Captain William B. Simpson in the house. Of course, he's calling from the horse house over there in Northern California at his bunker, Wild Horse Fire Brigade. Captain Bill, good to have you on.
Good morning, Bill, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Boy, I got to tell you, Epic Times has been showing you some love here as of late. This is pretty interesting stuff. I'm reading in Epic Times. I'm a subscriber. It says, wild horses can help prevent wildfires, advocates say. Horses don't tear out the roots of plants while grazing, unlike cattle and sheep, says Simpson. By the way, how long ago was that picture taken? It's a beautiful photo with you and the horses and the lookout at the Iron Gate. How long ago was that? Do you know?
Okay, so there's one with me standing in a field of grass, not looking at horses. The photographer from Epoch News did that. And then the one with me looking over the horses in the lake was taken just before they drained the lake.
Okay, I was wondering about that because I'm seeing there's still an Iron Gate Lake there.
Wait a minute. And that's one of Michelle's great photos. We have our new calendar just got delivered late, and amazing photos of the area and our heritage horses up here.
It's a beautiful photo. I'm kind of curious, though. What would that shot look like now? I know we haven't talked to you much about the Klamath Lake, or what used to be Klamath River Dam system. Now they're all gone. Is it still just looking pretty much like, I'm just kind of curious if all the water that has been coming down, all the rain's been scouring out all those clays and sediments, because, you know, the happy reporting is still going on. Even Time Magazine, they're talking about, oh, the fish are up here, they're spawning now, and I don't know what to think about that, because it just looks a little too contrived, but I could be wrong. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a ribbon of water. I mean, you know, we have 7 miles of view of the river. We probably have the best view of the entire river, anywhere up and down the whole river. There's a ribbon of water, but on both sides of it is black clay mud, so it's contrasted by this black, mud. And then up in the shoreline, of course, above the old shoreline where the lake was, you've got a little bit of green. It's regreening now because of the rain, but there's a lot of sediment going down the river. One of the tributaries that I'm particularly interested in is pretty near our ranch here. It's about an eighth mile away, and that's Jenny Creek. And I filmed with a drone, a couple dozen spawner salmon. Nobody knows how they got there. There's debate on whether they came over the highway or up the river. so that's a whole separate thing. But the areas where they spawned are now covered over with silt, so those eggs are dead. So if they did spawn in that piece of creek between Copco Road and the river, it's probably about a quarter mile of Jenny Creek where they were spawning that I saw. It's covered over now. Those eggs are done.
That's what I was wondering. And because, you know, just because the magic fish came back to the spawning grounds doesn't mean that there's a healthy spawning ground for them to reproduce, right? That's really what we're talking about.
Yeah, correct. And in fact, Jenny Creek has changed its course. They had a pre-planned course for that creek. And, well, Mother Nature said, nope, we're not going there. And now there's actually it's branched off, I think, in three spots last time I looked, but that was before the last big storm, so it's hard to tell what's going on with that now. So, yeah, there's, you know, I mean, these guys aren't following the science. They're not doing real science, and we're paying for, you know, as you would say, an excrement show here. Good science talks about what went wrong and what went right, and then you move forward from that with those lessons. These guys want to skip over what went wrong and just talk about what went right.
Yeah. I mean, there was a reason, Bill, that the original plan talked about dredging out all that sediment for the reason that we saw, okay? Now,
correct.
And the reason it wasn't done was that it was insanely expensive. And so they just decided to do it on the cheap. And I find it fascinating that, that they got to do, that they were permitted to do what would get you or me or anybody listening thrown in jail or fined out of existence if we did this to a river or a lake someplace.
Right.
You know, just dumping the stuff.
I put some of the blame on our county supervisors because they were late to engage in battle, you know, with lawfare. They came to the table too late with too little. And, you know, and this is how, unfortunately and sadly, in our county, we see a lot of leadership from behind. Mm. Now, anybody that's been a leader of a successful company, you know, not a bureaucrat, not an employee, but somebody, an entrepreneur, who knows what it takes to lead and win, because in the competitive market, There is no crown for second place. I mean, you run the race. If you win, you get the crown. You don't get a crown for running in the race. You don't get a crown for being a spectator of the race. You get a crown for winning the race. Mm-hmm. And so we're funding failure with our taxes, because every time we see this leadership from behind, it's too little too late. And, you know, I mean, we could have come out with a PR campaign. I started talking to the county about launching a massive national media campaign back in about 2016. I've got emails with Ray Halp and people. And by the way, Ray Halp made a silly comment in Epoch News, or Epoch Times, I'm sorry, that cows and horses don't eat trees. I mean, you know, that's kind of insulting to the intelligence of his constituents and to ranchers. Cows, you know, and it's a good thing that cows and horses don't eat trees, because guess what, Ray? 66% of all wildfires, according to the latest university studies and InstaWeb, are grass and brush instigated and fueled fire. So it's a real good thing that cows and horses don't eat trees, because the biggest part of our problem, 2/3 of all fires, are grass and brush, like in Los Angeles.
Well, yeah, grass and brush. Now, you're writing a piece out there, and I'll put it up there if it's okay. You're making the claim that L.A. Grass and brush fires could have been prevented. I don't know. In a 60 to 80 to 100 mile an hour windstorm, I don't know if much of anything could have helped that. But what is your evidence?
The evidence is simple combustion of chemistry. I mean, this is first year college chemistry, Bill. If you have no fuel, it doesn't matter how much oxygen you inject into the air. See, wind is just injecting oxygen into the combustion. Now, if you have a reduced fuel, I mean, anybody with a wood stove knows this. You can have your damper and the flue wide open. Mm-hmm. If there's no fuel in the fireplace, you're not going to have any fire or heat.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. And the thing is, though, as long as you have houses, you have combustibles.
You need ground ladders. A lot of these homes are really, you know, they're fairly well built. I mean, and a lot of them have, down there, they have those terracotta roofs and things. But if you look at these neighborhoods before and after, I studied the Sonoma fire, the Paradise fire, you know, which is the campfire. Mm-hmm. I've studied the Marshall fire. When you look at the area with the satellites before the fire, you will see there's extensive grass and brush. And that's because a lot of people don't want to mow anything but their own yard. And we know, you and I know, from the flyover at the Alameda fire that Jackson County paid for, these fires, when you have, and that was grass and brush. There was no forest fire at Alameda. That was all grass and brush, as you know. Mm-hmm. I watched that whole flyover movie that Jackson County paid for to study what happened with that fire. They flew over with that helicopter day after. In fact, it was still smoldering flames. And you could see that what happened is defensible spaces don't work. The Safeway store in Phoenix had a parking lot 300 feet all the way around. That got torched by the cinder storm. See, the heat front, grass and brush,
wait a minute, the Ray's Food Place?
Yeah, the big supermarket there.
In Phoenix? No, that did not. That did not.
It was in Talon, Phoenix, right there by the exit, right off the Highway 99.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe the one in Talon did. I didn't notice that one.
I can't remember if it was, I don't shop there, so
okay.
I can't remember if it was the site way, but, you know, the brand new bank they put in, cement parking lot all the way around 100 feet. Brand new, up-to-code, state-of-the-art bank that they just put in on Highway 99 there. Burned to the ground. In fact, it exposed the vault and the concrete. It was so hot. Here's the thing. Grass and brush burns hotter than a forest. And a lot of people, I don't think Ray Halp even realizes this. I think he forgot his basic chemistry. The rate of reaction of combustion is a function of surface area available for oxidation. So when you're burning a tree, all you have is the diameter of the tree initially that will burn. It burns from the outside in, and, you know, as far as gasification of the wood. So the thing is, with grass, you have a phenomenal amount of surface area,
which is why it burns so easily when it's hot and dry.
Yeah, really hot. Yeah, you inject a lot of air, a lot of oxygen with the wind, And then you have all this surface area that can combust, and you generate a phenomenal amount of heat. And that's why you can melt buildings with a grass and brush fire. I mean, you know, the most destructive fire we've seen in the United States was a couple winters ago, and that was the Marshall Fire up in Colorado, just outside of Boulder. That was all grass and brush. There was wind on. It was December 31st, the winter fire, just like this. And the wind came in, and there was a power line that triggered the grass and brush fire. It doesn't matter source of ignition. Something's going to light this stuff up, whether it's a cigarette or a campfire or a chain or a power line, lightning, whatever. But when you have the fuel standing there just beckoning any kind of source of ignition, you're in trouble. And that Marshall Fire was the most destructive fire as far as the structures. I think 268 structures were destroyed in that grass and brush fire midwinter. So, you know, the good news is we have an opportunity with a mixed herbivore. Like in L.A., you could use goats. I mean, goats are, you know, they walk around, they do their little thing. There's a lot of places you can put goats very successfully. There's places we can put cows. There's places we could put sheep. And there's places where we could put these horses and save $200 million just by putting them there.
How do you supervise them, though? I mean, that's always part of it, because someone's going to have to supervise them, right?
Not necessarily. Okay, so it depends what species we're talking about.
Yeah, because, you know, I know the goats. I mean, hey, goats are great lawnmowers. Don't get me wrong about that in an urban area. But they also eat eat your windshield wipers and get up on your car and do everything else, you know?
Well, okay, so, I study this quite a bit, okay? And, for instance, in Grass Valley, in a very exclusive gated neighborhood, they use goats. Now, they use dogs to manage the goats. And these dogs are amazing. They keep the goats right where the goat herder wants them. They don't leave in a given area, and then when he wants to move them, the dogs move the herd down to the next area, and the dogs keep them right there. These dogs today can even segregate geese by color. I'll send you a video. There's a video of these sheep dogs that actually can separate white and black geese into two different separate groups. But okay, so there's ways to do that with horses and cows. You know, cows, you might have to use some fencing. I haven't done as much experimentation because our cows are all fenced on the ranch, so I haven't done the kind of experimentation.
Yeah, but honestly, though, you're not going to be able to pay enough people to go out there and mow everything they would need mowed down in these canyon areas. Okay,
right. We don't have a scalable solution. I keep debating with some of these people who keep arguing while prescribed fire. Okay, really? You're going to burn 300 million acres with prescribed fire. When are you going to start doing that, and how often are you going to do that? And, oh, by the way, how much of the smoke can we breathe before we all die? You know, I mean, and, oh, by the way, how many of those fires are going to get out of control, burn half of Mexico down again, you know, New Mexico? So, you know, one of the worst fires we've seen recently was caused by a prescribed burn that got out of control. They always talk about how great it is, but they show you no evidence. There's no positive evidence of the benefit.
Bill, you know the reason why prescribed fire gets talked about a lot, because there are people who make their living from it. That has replaced other income-generating forces, and wherever there's the government grant check, you know, people are naturally going to gravitate to it. So there's no government grant check for a mixed herbivory plan yet, or is there? I don't know.
Well, 99% of Americans are suffering huge economic losses. You look at the UCLA study from earlier, it was last year, midsummer last year, that said 5,000 Californians are dying every year, premature death from wildfire smoke. And the loss over that 10-year period was $435 billion. Now, if that doesn't drive legislators to start thinking about what's the right thing to do, you know, the pitchforks, Americans are getting upset now. I mean, this is getting to the boiling point. This is a tipping point. And these obstructionist people that are out there in government, a lot of them, are creating problems for the mass majority. You know, this one percentile of people who are making money off wildfire, they're going to have to just, you know, suck it up and get different jobs, because we need to look at Oregon. Last year, you had the worst wildfire season ever. 1.3 million acres burned. Incinerated. The worst one ever. Wildfire Today reported.
Yeah, and not a lot of it in Jackson County, oddly enough, though. We didn't have much trouble, but point well taken.
You had your fire up there by Eagle Creek, and, you know, everybody had their fair share, but yeah, there was areas a lot worse, for sure, but that was after they built the taxpayers there out of Representative Marsh SB 762. What was that?
Yeah, that's Jeff Golden too. You know, Representative Pam Marsh and Jeff Golden.
How many $100 million was spent saying, "Oh yeah, we're going to get this fixed"? Well, hey, you know, it's 4 or 5 years ago now. I mean, how long do you fund failure before you call it out? I mean, this is a bipartisan issue, Bill. I mean, Democrats and Republicans die equally from smoke. We burn equally. You know, look at James Woods. Look at Moby. Look at all these superstars and down there in Palisades. Their homes are torched. You know, they're Democrats. They're torched.
Not James, but most of them are. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put your information up here if you don't mind. And like I said, you have brought it here, and you've brought it there. Now, naturally, you're talking about, you know, you're big on the wild horses because you want them in the areas where, you know, essentially the other stuff can't go, right? You just shove them off into
right.
an area.
Yeah, I mean, look at the poor Martin Ranch out there and down here in Siskiyou County at Table Rock Ranch. You know, they've lost 30 cows to the whaleback wolf pack. 30 cows are gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're in the valley floor. Can you imagine if they put their herd even further out into the wilderness, how fast it would disappear?
Yeah, forget about it.
I mean, yeah, we need natural selection for the horses. It controls the population and it maintains their genetic vigor. You know, it's the right tool for the right area. If I give you a toolbox and there's just a straight-edge screwdriver and I say, go conquer the world, Bill, you're going to be pretty disappointed. You're going to say, well, where's my crescent wrench? Where's my hammer?
I know, but you do talk about how your ranch is essentially a 3,000-acre firebreak. It's quite interesting. I'm going to put your information up there, Bill. And like I said, I'm out of time right now, but we'll circle back around there. But people should read up on it, and it's always thought-provoking. And I do like the idea of your mixed herbivory plan. It's not just one type of animal. It's whatever animal is right to to chew down some of the urban landscape, especially. Okay, all right.
Right. Yeah, the right tool in the right area. That's how we do it, and that's how we'll win, and it'll be cost effective.
Okay. Can goats be trained to move the homeless around too? Just curious.
The dogs probably.
Dog. Okay. We'll train the dogs. Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll train the dogs to line up the homeless. Okay. The drug addicted ones, they'll put them in one area, and the non addicted ones get shushed over to another.
You could probably train those sheepdogs to do that. They're really good.
All right, Bill. Thanks so much. It's good to hear from you from Wild Horse Fire Brigade. Okay. Be well.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. It's 8:30 at KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley with American Rancher Garage, wishing you a happy new year. Start 2025 right with saving 25 for 25. That's right, save 25% on all lube oil filter services and BG branded services, like engine cooling system, power steering system, and transmission services throughout January. Let's get your vehicle ready for the new year. Call 541-499-6673 to schedule your appointment today. Some restrictions apply. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Oregon E-Deals has unbeatable offers for you. Grab a $25 gift certificate to Artisan Bakery for only $18, perfect for fresh European-style pastries, or get a $25 Malello Coffee Roasters gift certificate, also just $15, for your coffee fix. Looking for some self-care? Get a $30 Skin Esteem certificate for only $10. Visit OregonEDeals.com and click the Metford link to score these deals.
I'm hooked on Oregon E-Deals.com. I'm saving big.
So, I've been thinking about how nimble and responsive Fontana Roofing is.
And?
Okay, humor me. Close your eyes.
Okay.
Picture, if you will, an unassuming but charming home pending for sale. Suddenly, the delicate boundary between buyer and seller is a paper-thin, worn membrane of composite material. Beyond lies a harmonious transaction in ruin. Ladies and gentlemen, you make a tenuous phone call and enter the wondrous dimension of customer satisfaction. Next stop, the re-roof zone.
The re-roof zone? Why don't we just say that Fontana Roofing, thanks to their long employee retention, have experienced teams of expert, efficient roofers that are often able to react to our customers' unique situations and turn their jobs around fast without sacrificing quality.
Okay, but I kind of wanted to work in how we have the ability to bend the fabric of space and time.
Let's just let our customers assume that.
Fair enough.
If time is of the essence, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Streamed on KMED.com. We really appreciate you know, what you're doing this morning. Wanted to give a little love to Kelly's Automotive Service, because I just want to tell you that coming up next week, it's going to start on Monday, they have their 14th annual Wipeout Hunger Drive. And all you have to do is just go out and get some peanut butter. 40 ounces or more of peanut butter and 10 or more ounces of jelly. And you take it to either the Grants Pass or the Medford locations. And they will put a pair of new windshield wipers on your car, valued up to $35. And they're actually really good windshield wipers, too. And next week, all the donations up to $500, if you actually wanted to kick in some bucks, will be matched by Midland Empire Insurance, too. So your donations will be doubled. Good people working over there at Kelly's Automotive Service in Medford in Grants Pass. Wipeout Hunger starts this coming Monday. Okay? Show them a little love, good people. Lisa and the whole crew, okay? It's 8:33 at KMED. We're going to break for the rest of the news here in just a moment. And then Diana Anderson is in studio. Diana Anderson, one of two people who testified yesterday at the Medford City Council. We'll ask her a little bit about that. I guess she talked. Did you talk the speed limit, too? You talked the speed limit along
the way? No, no. I was addressing smart growth and where it originated from.
Okay. All right. Bob Hayworth did. He did talk about the speed limit, though. And so two people. It would seem to me with all the irritation people are with 5,000 people getting nailed with those speeding tickets, you know, you'd think that that a few more would show up.
Right. I was.
Of course, I know it's been the holidays and people might even know how to do it. But if nothing else, you can get an email to the council, couldn't you?
Well, they were swearing in people for the that are being new members of the council. And the parking was, I mean, the parking lot was just filled. So it would have been a bad time for people to come in. Anyway.
Okay, well, maybe next meeting then.
Yeah, right.
How about that?
Right.
All right. See if we can get them to reverse course from the climate-friendly, equitable community communism, which is what they're all kind of signed on to, whether they realize it or not. We'll talk more about that with Diana in just a moment.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. More than 350 Oregon firefighters are going to California to battle wildfires near Los Angeles. John Hendricks with the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office says around 240 will be protecting structures.
We work with the Oregon Fire Service, so their work will be similar to what they do up here during our wildfire season. So they'll be working to help protect life, property, and infrastructure.
Those crews are from local agencies around the state, including from Jackson, Josephine, and Klamath counties. The Oregon Nurses Association claims Providence refuses to bargain as the union threatens a strike involving 5,000 healthcare workers. Providence says it's willing to negotiate. The union says it'll strike Friday morning if there's no deal, impacting hospitals around the state, including Medford. The Board of Josephine County Commissioners moved to terminate the current Josephine Community Library District lease for their Grants Pass branch and have now established a framework to negotiate a new lease. Currently, the library pays $1 a year. Bill London, KMED.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
American Rancher Garage United in Service.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley with American Rancher Garage, wishing you a happy new year. Start 2025 right with saving 25 for 25. That's right, save 25% on all lube oil filter services and BG branded services like engine cooling system, power steering system, and transmission services throughout January. Let's get your vehicle ready for the new year. Call 541-499-6673 to schedule your appointment today. Some restrictions apply. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Looking for your next adventure? From the rugged Subaru Outback to the versatile Subaru Forester, Southern Oregon Subaru has the perfect vehicle for you. Plus, we're offering a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new Subarus. Whether it's mountain roads or city streets, drive with peace of mind. Visit Southern Oregon Subaru today and find the perfect new Subaru for you. The service contract is not provided or backed by the manufacturer of the vehicle. The manufacturer of the vehicle is not responsible for claims or repairs under the service contract.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Diana Anderson has been a community activist involved in kind of yeoman's work here. Wrote a book not that long ago, Who Made American Schools Marxist Training Centers? Yeah, it's okay. Just get on the school board. It'll be fine. I wish that were the case, right?
Yeah. That would be nice and simple.
Yeah, it'd be nice. And I see what's been going on with Michael Williams. I don't want to get off into these school things right now, but that's the book that you wrote, you know, a while back. And I think it's pretty interesting. And you just kind of detailed in that. And it's not just the schools. It's the government and the government systems and the bureaucracy. It's all been creeping kudzu of communism, really.
Right. In fact, the whole idea is in community education, and the word education can be confusing, because when I talk about education, I'm not talking about a school building where you go get a degree and try and graduate and that kind of thing. It started with community education. They wanted to open up the school doors and let everybody in and let the kids out, and they were supposed to get active with the community. And that's United Nations Education for Sustainable Development kind of a program that they did.
Yeah, sustainable development is essentially turning you into a good little, you know, a good little Marxist.
Even back in 1911, in one academic publication, they talked about communizing the relationship between the school and the community.
And think about how we almost have intersecting lines of influence, because you had the technocrat movement of the 1930s,
right?
Of technocracy, which is really about what they were trying to bring in at that time was the global electronic dictatorship of sorts.
Correct.
In which everything was going to be an energy based economy and in currency, and you were granted your energy allowances.
They even called themselves Soviet technicians.
Yeah. And don't tell me that that the whole thing with the smart meter, as an example, with our Pacific Power smart meter and things like that, is not ultimately designed to be part of this. And all we have carbon allotments, and we have carbon credits being traded as part of the gangrene New Deal, all under the guise of we're going to change the weather by doing this.
It's all about tracking your personal consumption and your movements and that kind of thing. I'm going to be addressing the World Economic Forum, which is a huge organization that's kind of centered in Russia. But during the Obama administration, they made sure they had a U.S.-Russia relationship put together, a commission, so that heads of state in Russia matched with heads of state in America.
So is it kind
would work together.
Yeah, so is it kind of a fake enemy that's being portrayed right now?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely, yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Hey, before we dig into some of what you're going to talk about tomorrow, I want to make sure people know where you do all these presentations in which you go up there and you talk about these subjects in depth, and how our local governments are plugged right into this stuff, whether they realize it or not. You know, climate-friendly, equitable community, you know, is...
They're 20-minute neighborhoods.
20-minute neighborhoods.
15-minute cities, all the same thing.
Yeah, it's all just under different names.
Yes.
Marketed differently in different states and provinces, that kind of thing. And so tomorrow, when is your next presentation? Because, you know, people come out and watch these things. They report back. They tell me good things.
Yes, at Central Point Library at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Central Point Library, 6 p.m. tomorrow night. And what, an hour or two? Should be taken.
I'm
going to
say
more.
I'm extending a little bit because I want to fill in people on what climate friendly areas are about, but I want to get into how they're going to monitor residents, students, that kind of thing. What is the agenda in Klaus Schwab's Fourth Industrial Revolution? It's all about the new skills and the new surveillance that's got to take place using their technologies.
Do you ever get that impression that the incoming Trump administration, you know, we're all being kind of faked out that Elon Musk is, well, look, he's kind of our ally now.
Well, one of the cities that they had their main conference for WEF, and they put out these timeline colorful maps that gave everybody the trends and the technologies that were in the hopper and the ones that were already completed. And I went to Silicon Valley to get the results of that conference. Mm-hmm. And the maps, and they are very nice in printing out their slide presentations for you to look at that they developed. And on one of the maps from Silicon Valley, it talks about nano brain implants. And then,
which of course is what Elon's all over this.
Yes,
right?
He is. He's
the
Neuralink.
He's
invested heavily into the neuro implanting, and for. You know, there are some good benefits for people who are blind or they're paralyzed, and they're using neuro computer interfacing in order to allow them to function better.
That would be a blessing. But yes. I could see where the the control grid people, the technocrats, would more or less want to view this as how do we get people wired up?
Right, right. I ended up going to a university in India, and they're really smart people in those universities, and they talk about technology. And they even list mind control as one of the benefits of neural implanting. Silicon Valley actually made mention on one of their maps, mandatory neural implanting. Mandatory. So
they mentioned this in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, Silicon Valley, Silicon Valley and MIT and Cisco Systems, they gave billions of dollars to build Skolkovo Institute right outside Moscow. It's bigger than the Pentagon. There's room in there for 31,000 people in different labs. And what they do, they connect with other labs, for instance, the one in Arizona State University. And what they do is they come up with social, economic, and environmental type of packages for the future. Those are the three main pillars that they look at. Those three main pillars, you can subset anything that would be described as human survival, human, you know, or community living, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that come up all these new ideas and what they're going to do with the new technologies, that kind of thing. So, and then my concern too, people will ask me about vaccination records. Are we going to have to... Or are they going to require us to put vaccination health records onto a card or a passport in order to travel? And so I
this is just coming a few years after the essentially what we had vaccine passports, COVID.
Right. Silicon Valley did. Their most influential companies, along with healthcare companies and U.S. intelligence contractors, the Commons Project Foundation. Backed this up, they launched what they call the Vaccination Credential Initiative. And so in the hopper there, they're going to be putting out what they call smart with capital letters there, smart health cards. And they're meant to work across borders and everything. But they need to get it more globally fixed first.
You know something, Diana? By the way, Diana Anderson with me, and tomorrow night she's going to be talking about these and various other pretty deep subjects here. And do you get the impression that everything about our politics right now is designed, you know, keeping us looking at, rabbit season, duck season,
Democrat, season.
Republican, football season.
Right.
Everything seems to be about distracting you from what, you know, the truly evil individuals, you know, behind the scenes want.
Right. Well, when you start
even our politics, right?
Yeah, they are so open about it. Is what's amazing. There is a gal named Shirley Edwards from Oxford University, and she has a marvelous website for those people who are unfamiliar with 15-minute city connections. You know, she gives links, you know, hyperlinks on her website and everything. But she mentions how all of London now is mapped out into these areas where there's low carbon emissions happening. The European Union has a website you can go on. And let's say you're going to be going to Europe. All you have to do is go on that website and select any number of cities that you want to visit. And it'll take you there, and it'll have little maps with borders around each region in that city, where you can travel, what time you can travel in that area, and everything.
Travel limitations because of carbon, right?
Right. Carbon emissions, yeah. So everything depends on your carbon footprint. And that's what IoT or Internet of Things does, and the smart technologies like your smart meter outside. They'll determine that you need to be this globally sustainable citizen, this smart citizen, to make sure your home is smart. Because government is smart now, and they're going to be putting all this together to make sure that you're functioning, and they put all that on your trajectory, they call it. Where are you going to go?
What is our timeline here? Because the left wing has always been putting it around the 2030, 2040.
Okay, right.
They always put a goal there when they talk about Vision 2040, like the
right.
city of Medford, goals 2030, 2050.
The maps that I had downloaded from Silicon Valley and other cities go out to about 2035. One of them goes out to 2050. So I guess the most, I would say the most egregious things are the things that are going to take over, like the avatar. There's an initiative 2045, and the initiative 2045 is not well advertised yet, but they said on their website that their goal was to make sure that they go in with the technology where they could download your personality into other biological entities or other avatars. And then you would have this sense of immorality.
Or immortality, you mean?
I meant immortality, yeah.
Which, of course, might be an immorality in
yeah,
and of
it
itself.
Is immoral.
Okay. Yeah. But immortality. Boy, you know, these are people, godless.
Oh, godless, but they want to act like God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you see, this is why I get people all, and people say, well, what do you have against Elon Musk? He's a very smart guy, right? He's just kind of a figurehead of a system. And I'm trying to say, just because he might be helping trying to get President Trump to cut some waste, but it puts people to sleep. But it's like, listen, you know, it was just a few years ago, you were talking about his electric car grift, and you were honestly, you know, criticizing him for the grift, and now he's become a multi-billionaire, and now you're okay with him advising the presidency. Right?
I know. Yeah.
It's like people have the memory of a gnat, or the memory time frame of a gnat. I
right.
think. Well, that was then. Now he's one of us. You know, that kind
right.
of stuff.
Yeah, he's like a two-sided coin in my book, because I like his personality.
Me too.
Yeah. But then I go back and I look what he's invested in EV transportation. I don't know how.
And if it was the neural implant just to help the blind see and the paralyzed walk, I'm good with it. But when you look at where the technocracy wishes this whole agenda to move forward, it's a very, very different kettle of fish.
Yeah.
It is the Matrix,
right?
In other words, it is essentially the Matrix
being
brought to life.
Yeah. If you go to the NIH, the National Institute of Health, there was a gentleman there whose first and last name was biblical, Emmanuel something. Anyway, he... Set
oh, is this Rob Emanuel? Rob Emanuel's brother?
Yes. Yes, it is. Thank you. This was a couple of years ago. I looked into this. And he was actually put out an article on the web talking about, and it was a long article. I mean, if you're going to say to the public, I think that anyone who attains the age of 75 greater than 75 years old, they're just not very – you can't contribute to society very much.
You have served your purpose.
Yes.
It's time for you to go.
Yeah. And right. I thought, well, you go first. You know, kind of is what I was thinking when I was reading the article. But he was in the department at NIH for ethics.
these are the people determining ethics
right,
in medicine.
Right.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. You think you're worried about the Providence strike tomorrow, kids? All right, worry about who's actually coming up with medical ethics. Diana, on this event tomorrow, you'll be talking about things like this. Actually, on the subject block here, just so you know, and this is once again at the Central Point Library.
Yes, 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Okay. Agenda 21: The Oregon's Guide for Smart Growth. The WEF's Fourth Industrial Revolution, like you just mentioned here about that. Tools and tech for tracking people everywhere, and. And by the way, not to to bag on Elon again, but you know, after the Las Vegas blow up of the Tesla Cybertruck, he was in there and talking. Well, we have looked into everything, and the Cybertruck was functioning absolutely perfectly. Everything was just fine with it. I'm thinking, why would I want to have a vehicle in which some guy over in Silicon Valley is looking into, into everything about my car? Why would people want that? But you know, I digress. That seems to be where these type of individuals are wishing to push it. Also, Global Education Futures, the Foresight conferences.
Yes.
That's with Silicon Valley, too. And what is GEF? What is GEF?
Global Education Futures.
What the Global Education Future wants to put on the chopping block, such as academic journals, to be replaced by researcher communication networks. Huh.
Well, so no even journals, Peter Prokossian wrote an article and put it on the web just recently, just last month, I believe. And he was talking about the journals from the colleges sponsor and the papers that are coming out. They're so fake, for one. Plagiarism is alive and well, you know.
And now they're probably being written by AI.
Right. So that's another reason for them to say, oh, okay, we're going to take over, make sure that that doesn't happen anymore.
Uh-huh.
We're going to make sure that the only thing on the web is things that are legitimate, that are scientific, you know. So they can even take...
Oh, is that like safe and effective? Like they said, safe and effective too?
Well, they don't say safe and effective. What they'd like to do, I've read, where they take all digital written articles and categorize them. And AI can do this. Categorize them as to being scientific, religious, you know, whatever, political. Mm-hmm. All the articles then get categorized and then they get broke down. So they have these researcher kind of, I don't know if it's AI or real live bodies doing it, but they go through quickly with their internet of things, and they can screen all these articles, and then they can decide which ones are going to go on the web and which ones aren't. They are. When you submit an article, if you're an academic.
This will be, in essence, then, an electronic, just an automatic bot sensor.
Yes,
then,
correct.
For what is allowed to be out
right.
there.
Currently, an academic from any university.
So don't worry about the Facebook fact check thing. Okay, going away.
Yeah. Any academic
that.
Writing an article, they get it screened first. It goes to the journal, and they look at it before the journal even publishes it. Well, if you have the globalist taking over that function, they can control the Gutenberg galaxy, is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
That means anything that was written in black and white.
Fascinating. All right. This is tomorrow night. And again, the time at the Central Point Library?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, Central Point Library. Give yourself, what, 2-3 hours on this one, probably?
About 2 hours.
Okay, 2 hours. Diana Anderson, once again, is a co-author of Who Made American Schools Marxist Training Centers? And, you know, it's not conspiracy theory, pie in the sky kind of stuff. Got the documents. Got the, you know, listen.
They're very open about it.
Yeah, and it is amazing just how pig ignorant we the people usually are about such matters. And our cities and our councils are kind of plugged into this. And you have to be aware of this. You're wondering where this comes from. The 20-mile-per-hour, the business zone, the carbon-free kind of lifestyle that is being pushed.
I'm also
going to
let people know exactly the Vision 2040 Task Force, when they meet every month in 2025. I'll let people know what their schedule is. I encourage people to go to the meetings because, like Colleen Roberts had said, that the only thing that will stop this is just a massive effort by a lot of people. And if you just go and show up and say, I have read some of this or I've heard some of this, and I don't like it. I'm totally against it. You don't have to do a whole 2-minute speech and know everything there is to know about it. Just the presence of a lot of bodies at a meeting to show that you support even one speaker, you know, makes a big difference.
Diana Anderson, thanks for joining in.
Okay, thank you so much for the time.
It's 8:56.
You're invited to experience Southern Oregon's best bakery, Artisan Bakery Cafe. Indulge in European-style pastries, stuffed breakfast croissants and bagels, baked fresh daily, plus delicious soups, signature sandwiches, and salads. From the moment you walk in, you're greeted with smiles and bakery shelves filled with extraordinary goodies. Come early before your favorites sell out. Perfect for office meetings.